The scripture reading for this morning is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. It's on page 47 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. Verses 38 to 44. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplace, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them who contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
So I spent about 15 or 20 hours working on the sermon this week. And then I woke up this morning to laryngitis. So I've reworked the sermon, and it's going to look a little different. In addition to hearing my raspy voice, you're also going to hear David and Kelly share their testimonies. I texted them at 6 a.m. this morning and asked them if they would share with you, and they said yes. Is that incredible? Amanda will be sharing also. Will you just give them a round of applause for their willingness this morning? I got to tell you, the Holy Spirit is in our midst. I hope you will feel it and receive it in this time. Will you pray with me? Lord, open us up. Open our eyes to see and our ears to hear. Open our hearts to feel. And then, oh God, open our hands, open our whole selves to serve. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus is with his disciples, and he's teaching them in the temple. And I want you to picture the temple. There are several parts of the temple. There's the sanctuary with 60-foot high ceilings. That's a big sanctuary, right? And only certain priests were allowed in the sanctuary. They performed certain rituals there. I mean, Jesus wasn't even allowed to go in the temple. He didn't have the right credentials to get into the sanctuary. Okay, so you have this big building, this big sanctuary, and then just before that is the outer courtyard. It's this big courtyard and this large open space. It's known as the court of women because that's as far as women could go. They could just go there in the courtyard. This courtyard was the place where all the action was. It was where all the action was. I mean, people were allowed to sell items in the courtyard and like sacrificial animals and doves. There was a place for exchanging money. I mean, you may remember that Jesus got a little upset at all this economic transaction going on in the temple courtyard. He turned over some tables, ran some people out of there. And so you've got all this commerce going on. Are you picturing this? Are you picturing all the hustling and the bustling in the courtyard? All the people coming and going and making deals? And then all along the sides of the courtyard are these 13 containers, these 13 collection bins all around the edges of the courtyard. And they're each shaped sort of like a flower vase. So they've got a narrow opening at the top, and it gets wider at the base. And these are the collection boxes. This was the treasury, these 13 boxes. And they were labeled in different ways. So some were labeled temple tax. Those were the collection boxes for you to pay your temple tax. And some were labeled voluntary offering. Voluntary offering. And you could tell how much each person gave, because every time you put a coin in a collection box, it made a noise. It made a noise. And so you can imagine that a wealthy person would make a lot of noise. They'd put coin after coin after coin into the collection box. And a poor widow, you wouldn't hear much sound at all. I mean, you wouldn't even really notice her because of all the things going on in the temple, all the buying and selling and the conversations and crowds and all the men that are putting in so many coins and the noise of all those coins. I mean, no one would notice this woman. No one would notice her, this widow, drop one, two little coins in. No one would notice her except Jesus. Jesus notices the widow. Jesus draws the disciples' attention to this widow who has come into the courtyard. Look at her, Jesus says. You know, the truth be told, the disciples, they hadn't even noticed the woman until Jesus pointed her out. So they watch as this widow makes her way through the courtyard and past all the buying and selling, and she moves slowly across the courtyard to one of the collection boxes, the one labeled voluntary offering. Voluntary offering. You know, widows were not required to pay a temple tax because they had no money. This widow, you know, she doesn't come carrying this bag of coins like other people. No, she just has these two small coins. She holds them in her hand. She brings them to the collection box. Two coins. I mean, what would you do if you lost everything? If you lost everything and you just had a little money left, I mean, what would you do? How would you use it? Where would you go? The widow could have gone to the market. She could have gone to the market for bread. She could have gone to the dollar store where she could have got, you know, a little bit out of her money. She could have gone to the convenience store and bought a lottery ticket. But she goes to the temple because that's where you went to feel God's presence the most. That's where you went to pray. That's where you went to be close to God. It's where you went to be in the presence of the holy. That's where you went to give an offering to God, to offer your commitment to God. Notice this woman, Jesus says. She's lost everything, her husband, her income, her property. She has two small coins left. And the Greek is very clear. This is her whole life. Her whole life. It's not a percentage, not a portion, everything. Her whole life. So she walks up to the collection box and she has two coins in her hand. So she has a decision to make. You know, do I put in one? Or do I put in both? Do I go all in, or do I hold some back? The disciples and Jesus watch as the woman drops in one coin and then another in the collection box, all in, everything she has. She gives her whole life to God. This is complete surrender. This is total trust. Everything, her whole life to God. Take it all. All in. I've asked Kelly and David to share along this theme of going all in.
I invite you to imagine another sanctuary, not quite so long ago as the one Blair described, a sanctuary that is not this wide, but just thin and long. On this particular night, it is bustling with lots of activity. There's a choir in the front moving around, stagehands, children, youth. And then at the very back in a pew, supposedly doing homework, there's me in layers and layers and more layers and more layers of flowy white fabric in my angel costume. It's a rehearsal for the Christmas pageant. I'm 17 years old, and up until this night in December, my junior year of high school, I have known with no question, no wavering, no other idea in my mind that I was going to be a teacher. That was the career path. That was it. That's what I knew. That's what I had practiced. I have a brother that's 6 years younger than me and a brilliant man because I was his teacher. We played school all the time, obviously. This was all I knew. And then there's this night, and I'm sitting in the back of the sanctuary, as I have for years before this, growing up in this church. And the pageant was a huge part of our life. But on this night, something different happened, and I decided, this is what I want to do. We have these amazing stories as people of faith, and I want to bring them to life. Now, I had never taken a theater class. I had never been on a stage, other than my moment each Christmas, dancing through the aisles, twirling in this white layers and layers and layers of fabric, something I imagine Pam Wood would dream up as I've gotten to know her creativity and see her. That was it. And somehow my family, my engineering-minded father and my manufacturing, purchasing, spreadsheet-minded mother, who very clearly understood what it meant to be a teacher, were behind me. I don't know why to this day. We started looking for colleges and theater degrees. And when I was going to school, and maybe even now, doing arts in the church meant you were a musician. And I don't have a musical bone in my body. And so none of this made sense. But I did. I went and I have a theater degree from TCU. I started working in the theater and in the church and drawing these together. Had a great job, was close to family, was in a church that I adored, living in Austin as a young 20-something. It was amazing. And God started stirring again. And it was time to go to seminary. And there was a professor I knew I wanted to study with out in California. And so, for not really any reason that made logical, analytical sense. I hadn't saved quite enough money. I wasn't really ready to leave any of this. I went to seminary to study with Dr. Doug Adams. Had an amazing first year, took all of his classes, did extra activities in the arts with him. In the spring of that first year, Dr. Adams was diagnosed with cancer, and he passed away that summer. So now, not all of the moments in my life do I see how things worked out and why things happened in the time that they did, but there are those. I've been out of seminary and back in Dallas for 10 years now, and as I was mentoring someone this week, she's asking similar questions that I was. Do I become a deacon? Do I become an elder? Will there be jobs in the church at all? I don't know what to do. And I said, you're asking great questions. They're all the right questions. But at some point, we have to sit back in the calling that God has called us as disciples to hear what God is calling. And in some moments of your life and some decisions that you make, those may not make sense. And I have to admit, this morning when I received Blair's text and she said, tell a testimony for how you are all in for Jesus. Just because Blair knows that we're all in for Jesus. And the first thought I had was, Am I all in? As my husband would attest to and my family, I definitely have many moments of fear. Even yesterday, we had a charged conversation about my fears of some things coming up. And so I have to remember that though I am all in for Jesus, that doesn't mean that every moment of my life is all in. I still have questions. I still don't always make the right choice. But I'm doing my best, and what I do remember in my better moments and when those faithful people around me remind me is that Jesus is all in for me, and that's what's most important as I take the next steps.
Every year with the youth group, we come up with a theme verse, and try to work with a symbol and build our programming and activities around that symbol. This year, our theme is deeply rooted. You can see there's a tree there with very deep roots. Our theme verse comes from Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. You might be wondering what verse that is, and I'm glad you asked. This is from the Common English Bible. Happy are those who trust in the Lord, who rely on the Lord. They will be like trees planted by the streams whose roots reach down to the water. They won't fear drought when it comes. Their leaves will remain green. They won't be stressed in the time of drought or fail to bear fruit. We also have a feedback session in the spring where we talk about what programs or activities we did that we never want to ever do again, as well as those things that we absolutely positively must do again. And what bubbled up organically, I guess, from the students was that they wanted to know about how Jesus walked the talk, how Jesus' actions backed up Jesus' teaching. So I thought about that for a while and decided to go to that great theologian, Kanye West, who said Jesus walks. The first session we had about Jesus walking, we said Jesus hung out with outcasts, tax collectors and sinners. He ate with tax collectors and sinners. And back in Jesus' day, eating with somebody was a sign of approval, was a sign of deep friendship. And for Jesus to be eating with tax collectors and sinners, and notice that tax collectors are so bad they get their own category, was scandalous. But Jesus ate with them. Jesus walks with them. The verse that we looked at was how Jesus said the sick, those who are well do not need a physician, but those who are sick. Jesus walks with them. We also talked about how Jesus stood up for what was right. Jesus healed on the Sabbath, which once again scandalized the religious authorities. They thought that was disrespect for the institution of the Sabbath. But we can recognize as being showing God's compassion and God's healing to people who need it. Jesus walked with them. We followed up also on some examples. We had a gentleman named Jim Wilson come who had spent a week on the border working with refugees, people coming into the country fleeing persecution and violence in Central America. We saw how Jesus walks with them. As you saw in the picture earlier, we went to Church at the Square. Once again, it's a ministry for homeless and for people who are transitioning out of homelessness through City Square, the programs at City Square. Had a chance to eat lunch with them as well and speak with people who are living paycheck to paycheck and still being homeless. Jesus walks with them. Jesus was able to go all in and to walk with these people because Jesus' roots went down deeper into God. Jesus' roots were deep into God. That's where Jesus drew his strength. That's where he drew his convictions. That's where Jesus drew values and courage and compassion. And so our goal this year is to grow deep roots as well, to be all in with Jesus, just as Jesus was by growing our roots deeply into God. Kanye finished up by saying, I want to talk to God, but I'm afraid because we ain't spoken so long. We want to be able to speak to God and to grow our roots deep into God and to be all in.
All right, so now it's your turn. So we invite you to turn to the person or persons next to you and share your thoughts on the questions that are on the screen. Now, what does it mean to you to go all in with Jesus? The widow gave her whole life. She went all in. What might going all in as a disciple of Jesus look like in your life? So as Kyung Ray plays, for just a few minutes, have conversation with those around you about these questions. Thank you.
like to invite us all back together now. We're going to watch a commercial from Thailand that actually is selling insurance, but I think you'll find that the profundity of the piece is much deeper than just providing simple life insurance. I think going in looks something like this. I'm going to be reading the English translations for you because it may be a little difficult for you to see. Let's watch. Let me help. For education, the sign says.
เขาจะได้อะไร
What does he
ถ้าเขาทำแบบนี้ทุกวัน
For doing this every day. There you are.
เขาจะไม่ได้อะไรเลย
He gets nothing.
ไม่ได้รวยขึ้น
He won't be richer.
ไม่ได้ออกทีวี
Won't appear on TV.
ไม่มีใครรู้จัก
Still anonymous.
ไม่ได้มีชื่อเสียงที่มากขึ้น
And not a bit more famous.
เพราะสิ่งที่เขาได
้ What he does
คือได้แค
่ our emotions.
ความรู้สึกได้เห็นความสุข
he witnesses happiness.
ได้เข้าใจ
reaches a deeper understanding.
ได้ความรัก
feels the love.
ได้ในสิ่งที่เงินซื้อไม่ได้
Receives what money can't buy.
ได้โลกที่สวยงามกว่าเดิม
A world made more beautiful. Here's extra, the woman says.
ในชีวิตคุณ
And in your life,
อะไรคือสิ่งที่คุณต้องการมากที่ส
ุด What is it that you desire most?
ไทยประกันชีวิตเชื่อในความดี
Would you say that the man is all in? He gave his life for others in 100 small ways. Every day, little things that no one would hardly notice. Giving a plant some water, delivering bananas to a neighbor in need, helping a woman lift her cart up on the curb, sharing his food with a hungry dog, giving a few dollars to help a child go to school.I have to admit that when Blair asked me to narrate this video for you today, that I told her in the email, I'm going to have to watch this a few times over the weekend so that I don't ugly cry in front of all of you people. So I hope that you had some tissues handy. The man's life was oriented towards making the world a bit better with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind, all his strength. Like the widow, he gave everything he had,to something bigger than himself.
So going all in is very simply what we were made for. It's what we were made for. You don't have to believe me on this. Just try it. Notice how Jesus has gone all in for you in your life.All the graces that have come to you and that are coming to you even now. go all in with Jesus. Pay attention. Yes, go all in, and you'll start to notice the nudges, you know, the small things that you never thought twice about before. You'll start to notice, like when you suddenly have a thought about someone, you think, well, I wonder how they're doing. I should contact them. Or when you have an idea for a kindness that you can offer, pay attention to those nudges. God will use you to show God's love to someone. This is the greatest joy. You know, I suspect that the widow dropped her 2 coins in the collection box and she walked away. And I just imagine that she felt a deep sense of peace and connection. And perhaps even a surge of strength and resilience and determination. So may it ever be. Amen.